Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I thought we might have 10, but I guess we didn't get another alternate. But anyway. All right, it being 2 o'clock, we'll call the Fiscal Committee to order for August 3rd, 2021. We have an agenda before us of money from the American Rescue Plan. I'm told that these monies are derived from our losses during the COVID, and these are trying to make it up in the various departments. And if you want further explanation, we have all the experts here to explain it to us. So I believe... Okay, now it's on. All right. I guess you heard me call this meeting to order, and we're beginning. So, the first several items are on a consent calendar, and then we go to one that has some temporary employees. Do any of the committee members wish to have any conversation with any of the departments? We'll start with Department of Energy is down there for $250,000 grant. Anybody have any questions for Energy? The newly created department. Senator D'Alessandro has a question. Somebody from the Energy Department, please come forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And really, it's not so much for the Department of Energy as it is for all of these. What's the derivation of these items? How were they solicited and brought forward? How were they accepted? How were the numbers derived? I mean, that's all we have is a very brief snippet, a very brief précis, which we got this morning when we got our pamphlets. But we have a series of items here going right down the line to different departments. And the question is the derivation of these requests and the way these requests were handled and the dollars allotted to these requests as a result of those inquiries.
Would you introduce yourselves, please?
Push the red button.
I'll see that it locks.
Okay, can you hear me? Great. For the record, Jared Chacoin. I'm the Interim Commissioner of the Department of Energy. And with me today is Mark Sanborn, the Governor's Energy Advisor at the New Hampshire Department of Energy. Okay. So you'd like to know how we determined this amount?
Exactly, Mark. Perfect. That's the perfect question.
Sure.
How?
Based on studies that we've paid for in the past, so on the historic record of what a cost of this type of analysis would be, and that's how we determine the cost of $250,000 for these impact studies.
The only thing I'll add is we obviously, given this a very specific subject of offshore wind, part of our research was looking at assessment studies for the specific subject of offshore wind. And given the scope of what we're hoping to get out of the assessment study, this number seemed consistent with what similar assessment studies cost.
Okay, thank you.
And we assume the study will be widely distributed.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay, further questions? Representative Leishman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to point out, in looking at the fish and game, and compliment the Director Mason, that very thorough versus some of the others. So I sympathize with my colleague across here as far as the descriptions. Thanks.
Thank you. Now, this is on a consent calendar. I'll go over them one at a time, and we can either have the consent calendar all at once when we're done, or we can do them item by item, whatever the committee wishes. Seeing no motion, we'll move on to Department of Business and Economic Affairs. Are there any questions on that item? All right. Seeing none. No question, Representative Umberger.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I noticed your request is for $1,001,000, which I thought was an interesting figure. But then when I looked at your expenses, it's showing $461,000. And I didn't see any place where I think it says that you're going to give money to regional housing needs assessment, but I didn't see where that was allocated in your dollars, unless I just missed it.
Certainly, I can help. But for the record, Taylor Caswell, I'm commissioner of BEA. So the amount for the work is for $975,000, and you'll see that in class 72 in the materials for grants federal. That'd be $450,000 split in two, and then $75,000 under class 102 is for a population projection study that would be done in-house.
Okay.
And then the remaining is indirect costs and the audit cost that goes on each of these. That's why each of them has sort of an odd number. You'll see, for instance, item number 199 is 1,003,503. It's the same basic explanation.
Okay, so this is through the 2023 budget year. I'm sorry. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you very much. Okay. Next item is Department of Business, again, Business and Economic Affairs on the next item. And anybody have any questions on that one? Seeing none, we'll move on to Fish and Game. Item number FIS 21-201, authorization to accept and expense $61,887. Any questions for Fish and Game? You appear to be represented.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing none. Office of Emergency Relief and Recovery. There's two, next two items are with that agency. Are there any questions for Office of Emergency Relief?
What about this one?
Senator Rosenblum.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question on item number 204.
Okay.
The Choose Love Bus Tour Program.
Good.
The narrative says that it's four activities that are going to take place, I think, in schools and communities. And my question is, are these evidence-based activities?
In terms of the underlying program that will be used, it's one that's been in place now for some time, both through the existing New Hampshire Choose Love program, but also through a national foundation,
The Jesse Lewis.
Yeah, the Jesse thing. So it's using a lot of all of those same programmatic components. I think the goal with this program would be to take that and be able to bring it mobily to nine different communities in the state.
So, follow up, please.
Follow up
question.
Thank
you. So, are they evidence-based activities?
I would have to get back to you on whether these exactly what that is for the Choose Love program. I know it's been in place for quite some time, unless Chase knows the answer to that question. Nothing additional on that.
Thank you.
Senator Hennessy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good to see you, Commissioner. I have one question on this program as well. It says nine locations, and you're spending $205,000. Is it like nine different days, or will these buses be in these locations for several days, or how is that going to work?
My understanding is that they would be on location for several days in each of these nine locations.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any further questions for this department? Seeing none. Do any of the committee members have any questions on, I guess, what we'd call tab one that we haven't answered yet? I'll entertain a motion to adopt that, that whole page.
Move.
Second.
Okay. Senator D'Alessandro moves, seconded by Senator Hennessy, that the fiscal committee approve the items on this page. Any further discussion? Seeing none, are you ready for the question? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, no. That is adopted. Moving on to number two, tab two, we have a request from Fish and Game, and this one will involve hiring new temporary permanent employees. Does anyone have any questions for Fish and Game? Senator Daniels.
Thank you.
For the record, Executive Director Scott Mason, New Hampshire Fish and Game.
And Mike Marchand, Supervisor of the Non-Game and Endangered Wildlife Program, Fish and Game.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Director, I have some concerns in the in this proposal. As you know, you and I have talked multiple times about a permit that is put in by one of my towns that we have been waiting close to 2 years to get done. And it just seems that there's delay after delay. You and I have talked multiple times in the spring. Each time, at least three times, I was told that it should be reviewed or issued within 2 weeks. I would call back within 2 weeks. I got the same answer again. I found out recently that that applications have been submitted after we resubmitted ours back in October of 20th, and that they have been processed before Milford's. I understand now that the department is asking for additional information. This goes back to April of this year. And I also know that we're on our fifth extension in trying to get this permit, which was turned down by the court in December of 2020. I guess I've heard that I'm told that DES claims that Fish and Game is responsible for the delay here. And while I can understand some in the way that we were shut down with COVID and there was a hiring freeze on such, it concerns me that I was told the thing would be processed much faster than it has been, and that we gave up 75 acres of land to get into this first permit. My understanding is Fish and Game is asking for more now, which actually would take up part of our master plan where we had proposed the cemetery. So I guess my question on all this is, with all that I have been told and I have heard, how are we to assume that this proposal is going to fix the problem? Because what it seems to be driving it is the water and sewer projects and an audit, which can't be done until you clean up the backlog. So it really doesn't have anything to do with what's already there, but what's to come.
Thank you, Senator. The application that you're referencing is a very difficult application, and as you're well aware, that is parcel had received a permit from DES, and it was that permit and the challenge of that permit that triggered the whole AOT challenge. We've been going through a process with DES to try to rewrite regulations. We are about to come forth with a new set of regulations. In the very near future, we would like to see Senate Bill 129 signed into law first, so that we can go forward with some of the changes that the language that we built into our rule changes that would take into account some of the changes to the law that Senate Bill 1 that passed out of the legislature. That would be helpful there. In general, what took place at a very high level, what took place was is the amount of work that Fish and Game was doing on these reviews greatly increased following that court case and following the changes to the rules that DES put forth. We could not keep up with that, and we fell behind. What we've streamlined, or we're coming forth with the new rules will be a much more streamlined package. Will be hopefully we've struck a balance where we can still protect the resource, but at the same time move these applications through in a quicker format than what we are currently doing. These positions will help us do this. We are still we do not receive any money for this review work that we do, and that has always been a challenge to Fish and Game, is to try to figure out how we're going to fund staffing for this review process, which I think was one of the issues. You know, if we had been able to hire more staff or fund more staff, we probably wouldn't have fallen behind in the first place. We are looking forward, as we were talking with DES and seeing some of the numbers of applications that they're predicting we will have through the ART program, and these employees are what we feel it'll take for us to get our head above water and keep it there through the next few years. And that's the reason why these are full-time temporary positions. They'll work for us full-time, but at the end of this funding, we are not having to keep them on staff. At that point, we'll take a look at what the workload looks like. I'm assuming, and I'm sure some of you probably have a better handle on it than I do, as far as what the future is, but it would appear that we're going to see quite a bubble of construction here in New Hampshire over the next few years. And it will be, you know, in order to move that process through, one of the steps that a lot of these folks are going to have to come through is our endangered species review process. And these positions will help move that through quicker. A couple of things, I know it doesn't necessarily pertain to what we're doing here today, but a couple of the changes that we are putting into our rule package is we are going to come into compliance. RSA 541A colon 29, which creates deadlines for us to declare an application complete. And obviously, if an application isn't complete, you know, we talk to the applicant and make them aware of that, and then it gives us 60 days to make sure that once an application is complete, we make a decision. And in order to do that, and also to protect the resources, we're going to need more staff than what we have right now.
Follow-up question. How long would you expect it to take if you were to get these three individuals to take care of your backlog?
I don't know that I can answer that exactly. It depends on the amount of new projects that are coming in from the sewer and water infrastructure, which will be the priority projects. But I don't know if I want to get tied into an exact number. But I anticipate that we'll get rolling and pretty, you know. I don't know if you want to.
How long do you think it'll take you to find the people? Already lined up.
Yeah, so that's one factor, is depending whether we can hire internally or whether we have to go external recruitment. That's one factor. Once those people are on board and they're up and rolling, there'll be training involved, depending on what their background is. And so that will take some time as well. But we're going to get up and running as soon as they're on board and go through these as quickly as possible. Now, the one thing I said about the backlog, which is a little challenging because it's not just a static thing. We have new projects coming in every day as well. So we're projects coming in, projects coming out. But we'll certainly be working on those as fast as we can to work through that.
Further question.
Are the new rules that are going into place, is that going to cause the reviews to be longer than they have been before?
It will be a 60-day requirement as part of the rule package.
It should actually make them move through quicker. The other thing, and I think one of the problems we have right now at Fish and Game, and I think the application you're referencing, Senator, we went and we met with that town to talk about that permit. And we never heard back from the community what their answers were to some of the questions we had. And the problem is that right now we don't have a system in place that follows up. We need to send that community or that developer, you know, I call it a tickler letter. I don't know what the right term is. Long time ago, I worked for Farmers Home Administration, USDA. We dealt with, you know, hundreds and hundreds of applications in each county doing home and, you know, the old single-family housing, multifamily housing projects that USDA used to finance. We had a system in place where we would send out these letters reminding the applicant or the developer that, you know, hey, we're looking for this, you know, form A, B, C. We haven't gotten it. You have 30 days to respond or we'll withdraw your application. And it's that type of communication that I want to bring back, but it takes people. It takes one of the positions you see here is actually more of an administrative person. An admin person to make sure that we develop the types of communication that we need between the applicant and the department and our department.
Okay, one final follow-up.
Final question.
In the budget that we just passed, did you have any extra money in there for additional employees?
No, and we have some strict laws. I can't move money from like fishing game funds, any of the federal money that we get. I'm trying to think what's the...
Any money generated from hunting or fishing, license sales or federal excise tax dollars can't be used for the conservation of threatened and endangered species, which this would fall under. So we're pretty limited in our funds. Our program is generated from donations as well as some other funds elsewhere, but we're kind of separate from most of the funds at the fishing game funds.
Basically, what we do is a fund drive for non-game, and the legislature matches that with $100,000. And then we take that money and go to the feds and leverage that to get as much money as we can into this non-game program. I believe there were no new positions in non-game in that budget this year?
No.
Thank you.
Further questions from the committee? Commissioner Mason, are you from Coos County?
Yes, sir, I am.
I think I met you on your farm years ago.
Okay. Yeah, we used to have a little get-together down on the river.
You look familiar.
No overalls today.
Very good. All right. You had to get into this job pretty quick then.
It was a crash course. Nobody told me the budget was due 30 days after I walked through the front door. But I did hear the lock when I walked through the front door. And 30 days later, we put together a budget and got it out. And I had never heard of AOT until I was talking with the Nature Conservancy. And they brought me, they were the ones that initially told me about AOT. And I've spent most of my time since I've gotten here working on either AOT issues or hatchery issues.
Well, congratulations.
The fish are still swimming.
All right. Thank you. All right. Representative Leishman moves to approve the item. So there is a second by Senator D'Alessandro. Any further discussion from the committee? Seeing none, are you ready for the question? All in favor of approving item number 21-197, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
Okay. Do you wish to be recorded as a negative?
Yes.
Okay. The motion is adopted. Thank you all. Next meeting isn't that far away. We'll have August 20th at 10 a.m. Same place, same time. Not same time, but same place. And I expect we'll have a fairly full agenda. Appreciate all you folks coming and being ready to answer these questions. This is somewhat of a new format for us. We don't have quite the background on some of these issues that we frequently do because a lot of us have just been recently into the budget and seen some of these issues before. And all these new revenue sources are new for us. We had some discussions with LBA to discuss how it was derived, each amount of money and where it came from. But I guess administrative services and the governor's office are going through 150 pages to make certain everything is legal and meets the criteria of these latest fund distributions. So if there's no further items and no further business to come before us, we'll see everybody on August 20th, and we will stand adjourned. Thank you all for your attendance. Yep. All right, I'll be here.
Better to be seen than feared.
Mr. Shang, so anytime.
I'm adding a little bit of your So when we work on the thing about fixing, we're doing something.
Oh, cool.
And so,